four you after.
Oh, let's go with that.
Mark it
down. They said these things were the work of the Holy Spirit.
And as people were shaken under the power,
it is not denominational, it is prosperous, and it is growing. You just have your slave father or son.
Okay, so now this where you mean we'll talk about safe sex, or are you just a follower?
Christianity, like,
the police, they was kind of going to a beer game or a concert or something. And when we got inside, we were concerned, we needed to sit with Connie about the individual in the top area, and so we had to watch on a video screen in front of us. And then periodically through the service, there would be like a caption on the bottom of the video screen.
Genesis, but the way we did that, said the Lord, surrounding him, the great white
Senator Mattis, if you were here today.
Number 10, learn a second language. Number 9, pick a scam.
With all the technology that is available, I think he would do the same thing. He would use all the link-ups, he would use video, he would use sports, he would use everything that basically we're using right now. To do what? To attract the person who's looking for a home.
Marvel of this is Pastor Beachwood Reformed Church, part of a small Baptist denomination. established church grow and result. And he was invited to teach a course at the Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. He caused an uproar in Christian circles by promoting the evangelizing role of prophecy and miracles, including miracle healing.
Why was this all connected with the character of God?
Professor of Church Growth, Lee Wagner, who now teaches in the same classroom as Wigger, was among the skeptics.
The first time he brought that back, and I was sitting in the back of the control.
Thank you.
bondage or whatever the case may be.
All the churches in that work have been attending the meeting since the beginning of 70 years ago. And it's just wonderful how they brought us up, they trained us on the biblical foundation of laying hands on the sick, praying for the sick. Our goal is to pray for whatever their prayer is. Sometimes it's scary.
Sometimes people will shake them through the power.
Thank you.
Listen to this for a second. Here's Reinhardt and Brown saying, till, till, till. But what about the devil?
Till. If all that you get it. If all that you get it. Ha! Do it again. Do that, doctor.
Thank you.
and you will be healthy. Come to Jesus Christ, your marriage is going to improve. Come to Jesus Christ, you have a better boss. That's not Christian theology. Christian theology is not self-congratulation. It's self-sacrifice.
And you see it on his line of
they don't read it all. only to say that, so you know, the type of like holy laughter stuff that you see there, I said it during the thing, but it peaked about 2005 and around 2000, it was becoming a pretty large scale, has since gone down. Really, in American evangelical Christianity today, you'll see sort of three basic forms. What you saw there with Vineyard would be sort of on the outside, the most charismatic. You'll see sort of the middle of the road. If you think about the big churches in Sacramento that are like this, if you look at the Baysides or the First Covenant where I used to attend, or Capital Christian Center, they'd be sort of in the middle of the line. It wouldn't be strange to see someone dancing, especially in a really upbeat song. Most likely they're going to be in their pew, or they wouldn't have a pew, but by their chair. But you're going to be hard-pressed to see somebody having uncontrollable laughter or passing out, but there will be people within that body who will definitely go to a service, to an evangelist service or something like that, where that will be much more common. And then the third wave, which is becoming more and more popular, is a strong return to Reformed churches and Reformed doctrine, like John Calvin's doctrine. And that is propping up primarily with the work of John Piper and some others. And that is a much more conservative theologically, which is going, very often those churches will still have rock and roll music, but you won't see that type of charismatic expression. They certainly would very much frown on believing that somebody could be miraculously healed in a moment, especially in a church service, or getting off on that tangent. Just so you get the contemporary sense of where we are today, remember that's 25 years ago. Yeah, almost 25 years ago. So I was in my 20s when that sort of holy laughter thing was a big deal in the Pentecostal Assemblies of God churches. Particularly in the South in Florida. There's still a church in California up in Redding called Bethel Church, and they have a lot of very eccentric expressions of what they consider Holy Spirit ministry. I don't know. I wanted to set that context.
Sure. I appreciate that, because that is 20 years ago. Things have changed in Christianity.
Yeah.
Trends have changed. Some for the better, some for the worse. I received an article from Brian Gerlach via email this past week. What do millennials look for in church? These aren't Lutheran millennials. These are millennials in general, the generation younger than me. And the article revealed that they really don't care about the worship wars. They don't care what you do on Sunday. They just want two things: depth and authenticity. Can we do that? We can get better at what we do. We can get deeper from the pulpit. We can be warmer in our relationships and our connections to people. I'm not saying that Lutheran churches don't have improvement to work upon, but we already have what the next generation is looking for. We don't need radical surgery. We need improvement from within. Like if the church building needs new paint and refinishing the pews, you don't tear the building down. You put on a new coat of paint, you do whatever with the floor, you do minor updates, not wholesale tearing down the building. And in some ways, we are uniquely positioned to reach our community without having to look like something that we're not. We have actually can be quite attractive to the current generation of Christian seekers, as it were. We don't have a whole lot of time for discussion. We could almost have a night where we could gather and discuss this. And if you're open to that, let me know. We could certainly do that. Just to have the discussion and a little bit of fellowship on the side is not a bad thing. We got a couple minutes. Reaction, thoughts?
Questions?
John?
Yeah, John.
They talked quite a bit about Willow Creek. Does anybody know the status of that today?
Yeah, so Willow Creek runs about 25,000 people on a weekend. Currently, it's a very large church outside of Chicago. Bill Hybels is still very prominent. There's definitely tapering off in their growth. But he's still very influential. Really, in terms of American evangelical Christianity, you have Bill Hybels. He is very much on par with Rick Warren and down at Saddleback Church in Southern California. And those two are kind of viewed as being the guys who really did it well in terms of generating a giant organization. But they both had challenges in terms of maintaining the size of the infrastructure. As you can imagine, you have 167 people on staff. Going through the financial crisis was difficult for all churches, but when you have a big infrastructure, big facility, large staff, and you're, well, I think when now that I said a $53 million annual budget, your budget can shrink by 10%, and you have to dump, you know, a significant portion of your staff. So, but it's still, yeah.
Go ahead.
So that varies a lot in evangelicalism. You'll have some who have Bible degrees, and you'll have some who are seminary trained. But seminary training in evangelicalism can vary widely, and it won't have the same emphasis on original language exegesis that a Wells pastor does. It won't have the long-term training. A guy from a Bible college probably has a four-year degree and then 3 years of seminary. He won't have the full pastor track, and I know not all of our pastors go through the full, it's like what? Because there's a high school track too, right?
You can start in high school already and have 12 years of education.
Yeah.
Lutheran high schools often have that. I didn't go to a prep school, but I did go to a Lutheran high school that did start the training already at the high school level. So you can say 12 years in all. But traditional students, 8 years. Second career students, a minimum of 6 years.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes all the way up to 8 years.
So there's a very wide variation in terms of general education within those groups. Dave?
That's a good amen statement.
Okay.
That's great. I'm sorry we don't have more time for discussion. I was kind of hoping for that, but the reality is the video is quite long, and the bells are telling us to keep moving. But if you're interested in further discussion, we can arrange for that, certainly, perhaps outside of Sunday morning. But I appreciate your feedback. Email, personal conversation, phone call. I appreciate your feedback because there's a lot to discuss and think about when you watch something like this. So hope it was beneficial.
We need to be aware.
Yeah, we need to be conscious of what's happening in American Christianity because it influences us. So appreciate your time, appreciate your insights. We'll see you either at 10:45 or Thursday night. Have a good week.